Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 15. If you have that, let's read together, shall we? But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I'm going to talk to you this morning about speaking the truth in love. Dear God, thank you again for loving us and for salvation. Thank you for being such a wonderful God. Lord, thank you for the folks that are here this morning. I pray that you bless them and their Holy Spirit of God. Have your way in the service. I pray, Lord, you control my mind, my thoughts. Help me not to deviate, but to preach what I have written here. And, Lord, help the folks to be attentive. Please bless thy word, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being a wonderful God. Thank you for Junior Church and the Sunday schools. I pray that you bless them even now. And bless this time, we ask it. Help us to be better for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Ephesians chapter number 4, starting in verse number 11, God says in the Word of God, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting does not mean sinless perfection. It does not mean you'll reach a time that you won't sin again. It just means perfection. English word, the Greek word, is to be mature, and that's what we ought to be. We ought to strive to be mature for the perfecting of the saints. Saints in the Bible is not somebody that the Pope claims to be a saint. A saint in the Bible is somebody who's born again, somebody who's saved, amen? So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's us, as a body of Christ, as a church, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you were here at the adult Bible study, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. These people who push other versions or perversions other than the King James Bible are lying, are professional liars, and making merchandise out of God's people. Every single religious leader in an English-speaking assembly that does not use a King James Bible is a liar, ladies and gentlemen. Mark that down. Take it to the bank. Amen. But having said that, verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If you look at verse number 16, it says that we're maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And in verse number 21, it says the truth is in Jesus. You don't have to turn there. If you want to write these down, you can. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. My Bible says that God is a God of truth. John 14, 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus praying in the garden, he said, thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. In John 1, verse number 1 and verse number 14, Jesus is the word of God, and the word of God was made flesh, the Bible says. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 15, the word of God is called the word of truth. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 1, please. Real quickly, I was going to quote it, but I want you to see this. Romans chapter number 1. And in verse number 24 and 25, in Romans chapter number 1, the sixth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Romans chapter number 1, verse 24 and 25. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He's talking about the Sodomites here. Verse number 25. Who changed, watch this, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. The word of God is called the truth, but once you change the truth, it's no longer the truth, it's a lie. Even if you think it's 99% truth, if there's a 1% lie in there, it's a lie, ladies and gentlemen, it's poison. Once someone changed the word of God, it ceases to be the word of God. In at least three separate scriptures in the word of God, God commands man not to add to or subtract from the word of God. In order to know God, you must know the God of truth. Emotions have nothing to do with knowing God. Absolutely nothing. Feelings and emotions mean absolutely nothing when it comes to salvation or knowing God. I am not saying that there's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with emotions or having emotions or feelings, but it has nothing to do with salvation. Today, unfortunately, most people are swayed by emotion, and most people are swayed by acting and actors on a movie screen than by facts and truth. Salvation is based on facts only. The fact is that God says in the word of God that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fact is that God says that there's a second death called the lake of fire. The fact is that God says one day you're going to die and spend eternity in only one of two places, heaven or hell. The fact is that God says only Jesus Christ can save your soul from hell. Not religion, not church, not baptism, not works, not anything you have ever done or will ever do. That's a religion of works that's going to make you end up in a place called hell because of your pride. The Bible says that Jesus paid for our sins, all of our sins. Not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. That is a fact from God's word. So feelings and emotions have nothing to do with salvation. Absolutely nothing. None. Zippo. Nada. Tipota. Most people hate truth today. Truth is very convicting. Truth brings conviction. Doctrine is truth. Truth is right. I want to be right. Truth is just. Justice. What is wrong with being right, ladies and gentlemen? Would you purposefully want to be wrong? Would you set out your day or your life wanting to be wrong in what you do or what you say? Would you want to end up in the wrong place at the wrong time and have the wrong motives? Why would anyone want to be wrong? Wouldn't you want to know the truth? Well, the truth is made up of evidence. Evidence, facts. And facts are uncomfortable truths that most people shy away from because it reveals who and what we really are. So the further people get away from the truth, the more they love themselves, the more they love the world, and the more their mind is away from the truth. The truth. For instance, the reason why people reject Jesus and reject salvation is because truth is very uncomfortable with them. All you have to do is read John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So from these verses and other scriptures, the reason people do not get saved is because they never come to the truth. They never come to Jesus Christ. How often you hear the world say, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites, or they're a bunch of Pharisees, and that's why I don't believe in your kind of God. Well, as believable as that may sound, God very clearly states that we are all sinners. And yes, woe unto you if you are a stumbling block for someone getting saved or getting closer to God. But the truth is, the reason people will reject Jesus Christ and will spend eternity in hell is because they love their sin and themselves more. And they rejected the truth of God, the Word of God, and God Himself. A person cannot have a calm, rational discussion with most people today because most people hate the truth. But Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lost people will camouflage the truth by saying, well, I grew up in a different religion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, so did I. They will say, well, that's not what I believe. Well, when confronted with the truth, why wouldn't you change the truth? Adult parents constantly tell their children to always tell the truth and to always tell the parents the truth. Well, how about applying that same philosophy to God? Why would you rather live a lie and continue to live a lie and die believing a lie and then meet the God of truth? So the reason people reject God and leave God is not because of something someone said or something someone did. No, sir. No, ma'am. A person rejects truth, whether it's for salvation or even after salvation, because that person loves their sin more than they love truth. Jesus said in John 12, verse 42 and 43, nevertheless, the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that is true for the lost not getting saved, and that is true for the saved individuals not wanting to hear the whole counsel of God. And that's why backslidden rebels hate old-fashioned preaching. They hate preaching against sin because truth is convicting. Truth is troublesome. Truth makes you make a decision for or against God. Truth is uncomfortable, ladies and gentlemen. It pricks your conscience. Truth changes your life. Truth demands answers. Truth separates liars from truth seekers. So liars and rebels choose to hang around other liars and rebels so that they do not feel conviction and so that their conscience is not bothered until they meet the God of gods at the judgment seat. Again, that is why they hate old-fashioned preaching from the King James Bible. But I want to remind you that this is the kind of preaching that built this country and made this country such a great country. It was humble people yielding to God Almighty and receiving the truth from God's Word. So not only is America being filled more and more with more lost people on their way to hell because they have rejected the truth, but we have more and more of God's people who rebel against the truth and leave the truth to join hands to follow others who are following the same rebellious path against the truth. Proverbs says in 11:21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. You may think you're in the majority now, but wait till you die. You may think you're in the majority now, wait till persecution comes. Truth is the ultimate. Truth is eternal. Truth never changes. Truth is always truth. God has always been, ladies and gentlemen. God will always be. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Truth is solid. It's a foundation. It's an anchor. Truth does not change. Truth is rock solid. Truth is a foundation that you build your life on. Jesus said in John 14, 6, as we said before, He is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of truth. Without God, you have no truth. Without the Word of God, you have no truth. Without the Holy Ghost of God, you have no truth. Without Jesus, you have no truth. Jesus said in John 17, 17, thy word is truth. Therefore, if you do not have the Word of God, you do not have truth. The reason we make a big thing about the Word of God, it's so important at our church and in our ministry, is because without truth, you don't have God. You may think you have a God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It is not what you think or what I think. It's not what they think or what we think. It's what God says, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not have the Word of God, then you do not know what God says, and you are void of the truth. It is so sad that a country that was so rich in history of having the Word of God is now almost devoid of truth. Not just truth, but the truth. How many times have you heard me say, if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible? Without truth, you cannot have love. Remember this. We're talking about speaking the truth in love this morning. Without truth, you cannot have love. Truth must come before love. Without love, you cannot have salvation. Truth always comes before salvation. Without truth, you do not have God. Truth comes before God because you cannot have the God of the Bible without receiving the truth, His truth. Without truth, you cannot know what you need to know about eternity. It's that simple. I would rather have the truth than anything else. It is truth of the Word of God that tells us that Jesus is Jehovah God Almighty in Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. It is truth of the Word of God that tells us that Jesus is sinless. In Hebrews 4:15, He is without sin. It is truth of the Word of God that tells us that there is fire in hell and that hell is forever in Luke 16. It is truth of the Word of God that clearly explains salvation. Without truth of the Word of God, one cannot know nor understand salvation. I do understand that sometimes truth is a bitter pill for us to swallow. But not only is it good for us, it is necessary for our salvation and for our spiritual growth. Truth, unvarnished truth. I am on a search for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I don't mean about you personally or your personal life. I don't need to know your dirty laundry, the skeletons you have in your closet. But I'm on a constant search for truth when it comes to God, for doctrine, for standards, and for convictions. I want to know what God says. The most important possession you will ever have in your entire life is a copy of the very Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And I am not suggesting that just because someone goes to a non-Baptist church that that person is lost. I've never said that. But I will say that if an English-speaking person is going to a place where there is no King James Bible, there is no truth being taught or preached there. If you add one drop of poison to a bottle of pure water, that water is no longer pure but poisoned. I know it's not very popular today to believe the truth, to speak the truth, or to share the truth. But it's still the truth, whether you believe it or not. It's still the truth, whether the majority believe it or not. Today, it is being called hate speech if you dare state the truth to itching ears that covet sinful and lustful pleasures and the love of money and the greediness of their own selves. But the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 4:16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He wrote in Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who? It's not a what, not a circumstance, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? It's the truth that we ought to be after. I know this kind of preaching is not popular today, but let me be very clear and repeat this again. If an English-speaking person is going to a place where they are not teaching and preaching the King James Bible, there is no truth there. None. Truth is being poisoned with evil and wickedness, and it is no longer truth. I don't care if it's Catholic, Charismatic, Pentecostal, Congregational, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Muslim, Hindu, or any other pagan religion. It is not church and it is not of God. It's that simple. Just because so many people today go to evangelical gatherings does not mean it's of God. They attract people with their devilish music, hardly any standards, no hard preaching on sin, big screens, loose living, and they enjoy it. They do the same things at worldly concerts also, ladies and gentlemen. They do the same thing at worldly sporting events, ladies and gentlemen. As we read last week in Jeremiah and this morning in our adult Bible study in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, only rebels or ignorant people speak in tongues or believe that speaking in tongues is of God today. All you have to know is the truth of what God says in the Word of God to clarify the matter. People who speak in tongues are not wise. I don't care how good or kind or how sweet they come across. They reject the truth from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 13 says that tongues shall cease when that which is perfect is come. And the Word of God now, which is perfect, has come, ladies and gentlemen. And we have received the complete revelation of God in the 66 books of the Bible. The dreams and tongues and visions and revelations that make up the Bible have ceased, ladies and gentlemen, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And they may be sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. They may be kind, and that may be so. But the Mormons are kind and courteous also. But they believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan. Please show me a chapter and verse where that is in the word of truth. You won't find that in the King James Bible. Again, just because you're kind and just because you're courteous does not mean that you're saved. I believe that Japanese and Korean people are much more kinder than the average Baptist in America. But that doesn't mean they're saved. People today go to places called sanctuaries because they don't know the truth. People today are enthralled with worship services and worship leaders because they are void of the truth. People today play contemporary religious rock because they reject the truth. People today read perversions of God's word because they rebel against the truth. People today are ruining their lives because they have rejected the truth of the King James Bible. People's souls are not cleansed today, and they have emotional problems because they have rejected God's truth. Families and relationships are breaking down and apart because they have not obeyed the truth. People are committing suicide and murder and wickedness because they are void of truth. If you could only choose one thing, choose truth, ladies and gentlemen. I would rather have truth than some lying religious leader with a Jimmy Carter smile. I would rather have truth than my favorite preacher. I would rather have truth than my party's politician. I would rather have truth than my church's position. I would rather have truth than my background and my upbringing. I would rather have truth than my traditions. I would rather have truth than my previous dead religion of works. I would rather have truth than statues and icons and crucifixes and beads and incense. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14:19, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Five words. Ye must be born again. Five words. But today's crowd would rather speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue in a place called confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, please. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I cannot overemphasize the importance of truth. I know it's not popular. I understand that. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. The Bible says in verse 24, we'll read verses 24 to 26. Watch this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's what the problem is. People are fighting themselves. Hey, your biggest problem is you. You know, you're taking Flip Wilson's argument, the devil made me do it. You know, your biggest problem is your tongue, your mouth. Your biggest enemy is in the mirror. It's easy to blame your neighbor, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, somebody in church, your coworker. Our biggest problem is ourselves. We're opposing ourselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, watch this, to the acknowledging of the truth. Again, repent means to change your mind. And what you and I need to do at salvation and then afterwards is to change our mind, repent, so that we can acknowledge the truth. And that's a difficult thing when you got pride standing in the way. That's a difficult thing to do when you got tradition standing in the way. Yeah. Look what it says in verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, the devil will catch you. Listen to me good. He'll destroy you by you not believing the truth and obeying the truth. He's got snares and traps set along life's path. Bible says in Ephesians 14, speaking the truth in love. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. John 4:24 says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We started off in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Today our society makes love their God and their so-called relative truth their God. The world calls situation ethics their God. In other words, you can lie about some things, but not other things. Like, you know, you can lie on your income taxes or steal from rich corporations, you know. Or you can tell your little kids about an Easter bunny or Satan Claus or some tooth fairy or some other such lies that adults and parents teach their children, but yet you tell your children not to lie to you. And you're teaching your children a lie. In other words, their love, their desire, their wants, and their lusts are their God. Their end goal is to please themselves, and they want what they want, and what they want to think, whatever they think. There are two major attributes of God: truth and love. Not that there aren't any others, but the two that we're talking about this morning, the two major ones, are truth and love. Jesus said in John 13:34, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Not if you have the truth. But you have to have the truth in order to have love. You understand what I'm saying? See, the world, and this is what Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." You know why the world has no idea why we're his disciples? Because most of God's people don't love. Hello? Jesus said in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That means all we need to do to draw all men to Jesus is to lift up Jesus. The only reason we don't have revival, the only reason our country's in a mess, the whole reason our society's in a mess, is because God's people don't love and lift up Jesus. The people who have the truth don't love and lift up Jesus, or we'd have revival. We harbor hard feelings. We have bitter feelings. Somebody hurt us. We can't get over it. Our pride does not allow us to forgive somebody and show somebody some mercy. Hello? I believe that most of God's people who are saved and born again do not really love God and love souls today. So how could that be? Well, because most of God's people have chosen and allowed the world to influence them more than the Word of God. They listen to too many Judases instead of what God said in the Word of God. The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. Why are they grievous to you? Being kind and tenderhearted and loving and being courteous are just as much of commandments as the other stuff in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. We make a big thing about all the sins. How about not being courteous? How about not being kind? How about not being patient? Seems to me that most of God's people do not think it's important to be kind and compassionate and courteous and helpful and patient and forgiving and merciful and humble. The Bible says we are to speak the truth in love. I have seen and witnessed and heard too many of God's people being unkind to lost sinners and saved sinners in almost a condemning way and an overbearing way on them, in such a way that they seemed like they were almost glad that they were deserving of going to hell for all eternity, or they were glad they were being cursed of God. God help us from that kind of stuff. God forbid that kind of representation from the Prince of Peace. I say we are to reconcile people back to their Creator. I say we are to be ambassadors of peace and love and joy. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, ladies and gentlemen. Our lips should pour out sweetness and kindness and mercy and patience and charity and courtesy and meekness and humility. Too often we want to prove how right we are instead of being burdened about others, the other's plight in life and the burdens that others have to bear and the crosses that they must bear each day. It seems to me that too often too many of God's people are too busy, like the scribe and the Pharisee and the priest who passed by the man who was half dead to help him. But the Samaritan stopped when he was half dead. But what's so sad is while Baptists sit home, the Jehovah's false witnesses and Mormons go by and knock on their doors. And they make them a twofold child of hell. And then God's people just too often chalk it up as, well, it's the end times. And God foretold that these things would happen, that these days would come. And so they cover their sin with a cloak of heresy called Calvinism and predestination. It is always interesting to me that the only people who believe in predestination are the people who are already saved. How sad. One day their cloak shall be taken away at the judgment seat of Christ, and then they shall see just how naked their life for God has been, and how empty a life they lived, and how selfish a life they lived, and how empty they shall show up at the judgment seat of Christ, all because of their lack of love. The only reason we are not fishers of men, and Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." The only reason we are not fishers of men, and we do not catch men for Jesus, because we are not following Jesus. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're a follower of Jesus. Just because you're a Baptist, you've been baptized in a Baptist church, don't tell me you're following Jesus because you go to a Baptist church. Any church, especially near a larger city or town, that does not have visitors all the time, that does not regularly get people saved, that does not regularly get people baptized, obviously does not love God or people. And if you are not encouraging people to get saved and not seeing people getting saved in your personal life, you should ask yourself and you should ask God, why not? If you are not a soul winner, you are not right with God. If you can hear my voice and understand what I am saying, if you are not a soul winner, you are not right with God. Too many of God's people have willingly swallowed the heresy of Calvinism because they think in their wicked and rebellious minds that now they are absolved of their obligation and their duty of getting people saved. They love their money more than they love souls. They love work, work, work to pay the bills and buy more things. But they don't work for God when it comes to souls. And that's sad. It shows a lack of love. We criticize the world for their lack of God, of love, but God says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. I know that lost people don't love. I know that because they don't have the truth. You can't love without truth. But it saddens my heart when God's people can't love either. When we ought to love because we have the truth. The problem with our country is God's people. You have millions and millions of so-called God's people today listening to radio talk show hosts all day long. And they call in and they vent their frustrations about what's going on in our society. Then they watch and listen to Fox News all night long. Then they visit right-wing conservative websites all day long and all night long. Then they sit home on their computers and write emails that are attached to online stories to see their name and their remarks about a certain news story. Then they'll write and visit their congressmen and make a big stink about things they should have no business making a stink about. But they never voice a concern about losing more of our rights and liberties. Then they die a slow and early death because of high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, heart attack, suffer from anxiety attacks, have nervous breakdowns, all because of their so-called concern about their country. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you were concerned about your country and you were concerned about people, then they would be knocking on doors and handing out gospel tracts on a street corner instead of the Jehovah's False Witnesses and Mormons doing it. Don't tell me you love souls. If so-called God's people were more concerned about God and God's word and the souls of mankind, that they would spend the rest of their lives being addicted to this kind of a ministry, like the Bible says, where the gospel is preached to the poor and the poor are given hope and the poor are more interested in, instead of you being interested in prepping and being building bunkers underground, getting ready for the collapse of society. How about being concerned about reaching souls for Jesus Christ? You wonder why our country is so messed up. It's because God's people are so cold-hearted when it comes to God. They're cold-hearted when it comes to the things of God, the house of God, the preaching of the old-time religion, the lack of compassion for souls being saved from hell. I ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Is there a place called hell or isn't there? Yeah, is there? Is there a place called hell or isn't there? How can you sit in church and listen to this kind of a sermon, never one time share with your loved ones the only way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Not one time share with your dad or your mom, your brother, your sister, your son or your daughter, your neighbor, your cousin, your relative, anybody. And not telling them about salvation. It makes me question whether they pray to themselves or not. It makes me question what Bible they are really reading. It makes me wonder what they're thinking when the preaching's going on. I'll tell you, they're full of themselves. Most people do not want to be bothered. They can stay up all night with no problem gossiping, fellowshipping, watching movies, being online, but it's hard for them to come to God's house, get up early in the morning, you know. They trek all over God's creation for a picnic, to go hunting, to go fishing, for get-togethers, for fellowships, for hiking, for vacations, but they can't come to church or hand out a gospel tract or witness to a neighbor or a coworker or a relative. Or a family member, or a complete stranger. What kind of Bible are you reading? Do you read the Bible? How is it that you don't come across these verses that we're preaching about? Or does your cold heart just automatically skip over the verse that brings conviction? Is your cold heart more important to you than the souls whom God has allowed to cross your path in life? Is your vacation more important? Is your money more important? Is your comfort more important? Is your luxury more important? Is your time more important? Is your pleasure more important? I thank God we have a church that cares for people, ladies and gentlemen. It's not that they just say they care, but I'm grateful to God Almighty that we have such a bigger percentage of our folks in this church than the average church that these folks in our church help out in this ministry, man, in many ways. Whether it's giving and tithing, whether it's cooking and preparing for all the church dinners and fellowships and the coffee, whether it's going soul winning, working in the bus ministry, or teaching Sunday schools, or preaching in junior church, or helping in the nursery, or helping in the baptistry room, and getting people baptized, and washing the towels afterwards, and cleaning out the church building, and go on and on with the ushers and the doorkeepers, and keep the doors closed for the AC or the heat. I thank God for a group of people that love God and love people, ladies and gentlemen. I would hate to go to a church where people are so cold-hearted that nobody sees anybody saved. Nobody sees anybody baptized. Nobody sees any lives changed. You don't know the time it takes. People count the offering, do the deposits, special singing, the sound room, shovel the sidewalks, print up the prayer lists, and on, the maintenance men who stay here more than you can ever imagine. Hours on end, just to keep this place in better shape than it's ever been in the last 30 or 40 years. And I can go on and on. Now, I thank God we have such a friendly and warm congregation that greets people. I'm sure you visited here this morning. You were greeted already by people. You know why? Because people love you. Too many times people are consumed with themselves. Too many times they sit in their own pew and never introduce themselves to visitors. And it's only due to a lack of love for God and others. They are their own God. They think the world revolves around them. They do not want to be bothered. They do not want to be pushed. They do not want to be persuaded to win people to Jesus Christ. They may have the truth, but they have no love for the lost and no love for the poor and no love for their church. It is that simple, ladies and gentlemen. That is the truth in love. It is very, very rare to have a person and a church that has both truth and love combined and mixed the way God wants us to. Being balanced is one of the most difficult things today. Most people talk a good talk, but your actions are speaking so loud that I cannot hear what you are saying. I know we're all sinners, and I know we all fall short, but love constrains us, and love compels us, and love motivates us, and love pushes us beyond ourselves to do more for God than we ever have before. Always remember these two things. The most important thing you will ever believe is that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and the most important thing you will ever do in your entire life is to win souls to Jesus Christ. You winning them. You persuading them. I ask you the question. When is the last time you invited somebody to church? When is the last time you brought a visitor with you to church? When is the last time one of your converts got saved and baptized? Most of God's people are not fishers of men. Most of God's people are fishers of pleasure and laziness and sports and idols and money and things and idolatry. Let's close with 1 Corinthians 13, shall we? 1 Corinthians 13. This is a famous chapter on charity. It's not a chapter on love. It's a chapter on charity. Because charity means love in action, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody can say, well, I love you, and I love God, and I love church, and I love the Bible. Charity is a little different. It goes one step further. It says love in action. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. You thought this is a Sunday night service, huh? It's okay. It's all right. If you think this is tough, don't come back tonight. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Again, charity is love in action. I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's the truth about love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Because charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's charity, ladies and gentlemen. That's the truth of charity. Verse number 6, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you love God, your heart is broken about what the Sodomites have done to this country, ladies and gentlemen. Your heart ought to be broken of what's happened to this country, how it's decomposing in front of our very eyes. Society breaking apart, families breaking apart. It ought to bother you. Because that's what charity says. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the, wow, look at this, the truth. Huh? Are you glad you got a King James Bible? Charity rejoices about it, amen. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, glory, hallelujah, the word of God. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Oh, like Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love so that we may grow up in all things in Christ. See, when you speak the truth in love, you know what you do? You mature. You grow up. You grow up. Verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am, I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I believe the only reason we are falling away as a country, as a society, and as are most of the churches today, is not only because it is God's timeline. The providential, all-foreseeing God knew that his own elect would grow cold because iniquity shall abound in the end times. Thus, we have arrived to that time in the end of the world and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that most of God's people are cold-hearted and selfish and stubborn and rebellious. If you don't believe that, you start your own church. I'm preaching this morning behind my pulpit. Amen. The reason most people do not come to church is because they do not love God or others. I understand some of you got swing shifts, and I know you can't make it every service. I understand that. We've gone through that. But if you purposely to miss church, it's because you don't love God or others. The reason why most people do not read their King James Bible every day is because of a lack of love. The reason why most people do not spend time on their knees in their prayer closet is because they do not love God. The reason why most people do not obey all of the Word of God is because His commandments are grievous to them. The reason most people do not go soul winning is because they do not love God nor the souls of mankind. They're prejudiced and biased against ethnicities and nationalities and colors. The reason most people do not believe in having a bus ministry or bringing in the poor and the downtrodden to church is because they do not love God or people. The reason most people do not like this kind of preach is because they do not love God and they do not love others. The reason most people do not love the old-time religion is because they are not right with God. The reason most people do not love old-fashioned preaching is because they do not love God, ladies and gentlemen. How many times in the scriptures we read that truth and mercy are combined? Proverbs 16:6, by truth and mercy iniquity is purged. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Psalm 85, verse number 10, mercy and truth are met together. 1 John 3:18, love in deed and truth. In Ephesians 4, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Galatians 6:1 says we ought to have the spirit of meekness. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Matthew 12:34, God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 12, we ought to be compassionate and pitiful and courteous. In 1 Peter 4:11, we are to speak as of the oracles of God, with humility, with kindness, and grace. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Hey, when's the last time you gave somebody the gospel? In love and with love. And they knew that you love them and that God loved them. I don't care about religious fake, phony frauds. I don't care about the religious leaders that are lying. I don't care about them, but I care about people on the street. I care about people that are like lost sheep wandering from congregation and church and church that are void of truth and salvation. Because the religious leaders are lying to them for the filthy lucre. People are being fooled today by religious leaders and politicians who say, I love you, I care about you, I want to help you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, most of these politicians and religious leaders that say that are lying to you because they're not saved themselves. They do not know the God of truth nor the God of love. The love of money drives them to make merchandise of God's people. So many people today want to be loved. They want to have love. And they overlook facts and evidence of the truth of God's word. And Satan's traps ensnare them with the bait of feigned love. So an old-fashioned preacher tells you that the God of truth and righteousness extends his mercy out to you to be saved and healed only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world today mocks and laughs and hates God and the men of God who proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. I ask you this morning, I don't care if you're visiting for the first time or you've been coming for 5, 10, 20 years, are you saved today? I'm not asking you to be baptized, but are you saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul? And if you're here and you've been saved but you've not been baptized, why haven't you been baptized as Jesus was in the River Jordan by John the Baptist? I ask you a question, do you love God this morning? Do you love the things of God? Do you love souls? Do you love and care about what God loves? Do you care where people are going to go after they die? Do you love truth? Do you love God? We ought to be honest and right with God by speaking the truth in love at all times. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I believe all of us are guilty. So often, Lord, we are so lopsided, either with truth, with very little compassion and love and concern sometimes, and we come across as religious Pharisees. And so many people are so lopsided in love that they have no foundation for that love and no truth for that love. They love Satan himself probably sometimes. And I'm afraid, dear God, that we don't balance love and truth the way that we ought to. I know it's a daily struggle. I know it's a lifelong struggle. But we ought to do the best we can in reading this book to put everything in balance and everything in order so that we love you and love this book more than anything else and love souls, dear God, because of the truth compels us to do it. Dear God, I don't know everybody's situation in this room, their condition. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart that day that lady gave me a gospel tract in November 1978. I thank you, dear God, 21 years old on my way to hell. I cannot believe I'm standing behind a pulpit this morning preaching the grace of God. I cannot believe I'm preaching the mercy of God this morning. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, dear God, that somebody cared about me and loved me enough to give me the truth. And dear God Almighty, please, I beg of you this morning that the folks sitting in this room and listening to my voice, dear God, would be burdened for the truth and for thy love, to love souls and love sinners, and to give them the gospel before it's eternally too late. Bless these dear folks, dear God. Be good to them. Love them, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.